brave the line to get into the park this morning. Pam and I had to run that gauntlet early. The ranger was a little surly with us.
Oh, no.
Because he thought we were trying to sneak in. Didn't see the collar, I guess. Didn't treat me with the proper respect to which I was due. See if I can fix that next week. This morning's gospel lesson is about healing, inclusion, and looking out for the other. It's also helpful for us today in order to get a better sense of the very different cultural context of that time and that place compared with our own time and place today. So as if to further push his point about clean versus unclean, pure versus impure, that we heard about last week, where Jesus had a rather in-your-face encounter with the Pharisees, Jesus went. He went on to Tyre, a Gentile town, an impure town, to lay low for a bit. But even there, word got out that Jesus was there. And this woman, a Greek woman, an impure person in the eyes of Pharisaic first century Judaism, showed up pretty much right away and knelt before him, kneeling, a posture of supplication. How many times, other than at the altar rail, did anybody ever ask you to kneel in front of them? Or when did you ever think that that would get you further with a person if you knelt before them? So she knelt before Jesus and she asked for help for her daughter, who was, by the way, at home. Today, we would say that her daughter had some sort of mental health condition or a mental health crisis. But in that time and place, such a person was simply thought to be possessed by a demon. Demons were real things. For Mark and his readers, right away, something is up. Something was up. That is most likely lost on most of us because we are 21st century first world people and not first century Middle Eastern Jewish peasants. Our cultural context couldn't be much different from theirs. So a lone woman in that day, Jew or Greek, would not approach a man to whom she was not related. In those days, good people didn't do that. And so she was being rather forward in their eyes to begin with. Their awareness would have been heightened right away. The exchange itself between Jesus and this Greek woman was also rather unique in a couple of ways. First, this woman, as I said, was not a Jew, and yet she asked Jesus, a rabbi, for help for her daughter. I made a clumsier, it felt clumsy to me, comparison for us today. And I'll try it again, but it'll probably be just as clumsy. It would be not too dissimilar if one of us, as a person of faith, went to, and I hope none of you have done this recently, went to a tarot card reader looking for actual help. Not just as a novelty, but as a real looking for help. In those days, in their cultural context, Jews and Gentiles didn't have much to do with one another. And so her approach to Jesus seemed odd at first to those with Jesus that day, and very possibly to Jesus too. If Jesus was surprised, which I think he might have been, by her bold approach, he was pretty quick to include this woman in his healing orbit. but not before revealing a bit of his humanity and his own Jewish cultural conditioning. I wonder if any of you, as this gospel lesson was being read, or before, if you've heard this lesson, wondered about what Jesus is quoted to us have said. Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Implying that this woman was at the same level as a dog. And yet, she persisted and incorporated the insult into her plea for help and engaged Jesus in a bit of lively banter about children and dogs and table scraps. And it seems to me that Jesus was struck by her willingness to persist, her need to persist, in her request for help, and so Jesus was moved to help her daughter. I also believe that Jesus really enjoyed a good verbal joust and was impressed by this woman. So it seems possible that Jesus was learning something new here too, about how his influence and his following was growing beyond the Jewish peasantry who had been following him to this point. It might seem unfortunate, based on what I just said, that Jesus used a common put-down of the day that non-Jews were dogs in referring to this woman. But maybe, just maybe, it was an example, a teaching tool of sorts for the others that were gathered around about inclusion, and that Jesus wasn't surprised at all, but was waiting for such an opportunity and encouraged by the turn of events, bringing this Greek woman to him for the same kind of healing that others had been seeking before, bringing Jews and Greeks together. Maybe it was an early opportunity to model for them and for us inclusivity for his disciples and for us. The other unique thing was that this girl, this little girl, the daughter, wasn't even there. I wonder, I've read this text forever, and I have to say, this is the first time in preparing for this sermon that I actually, that hooked in my head, that the daughter wasn't even there. She was at home. Now, we know from previously in the Gospels that Jesus had healed others, but always with a touch, a healing touch. Jesus healed this girl without ever touching her, or seeing her, or being anywhere near her. Healers, then and now, almost always need to touch the one being healed. And we know, even in our own time, that human touch can be powerful and do wonderful things, even if we're not sick. Jesus had and has the power to heal without physically touching, even from a distance, even from the distance of time and space after all these millennium. And then there's a third thing, at least a third thing, going on here, which also happens with the deaf person in the second half of the gospel lesson. The ones being healed in this lesson are not the ones who asked for healing. In both cases, others asked for help on their behalf. They were advocates for those in need. Generally speaking, then as now, the person seeking help was and is the one who is asking. But in both cases here, the others advocated on their behalf. And it could be said, especially in the case of the little girl, that they had no idea that a request had been made for them or that anything was being done for them at all. Jesus did not say that those two, the troubled little girl and the deaf man, had to ask for themselves, or somehow that they had to believe in Jesus' healing power. It was enough that family or friends advocated for them, for the other. So clearly Jesus had the power to heal people. And these were just two of a great many examples of that power, Jesus' power to restore people to wholeness, to heal them. But what does this have to do with us? Those of us gathered here this morning, not to mention those who stayed home or took a drive through the park or a hike, or those who would never think of turning to Jesus, much less the church, for help, for healing. So we too, I believe, have the power to heal. All of us have the potential to heal. We too can reach out to fellow travelers in this life we all share here on this earth. We have the power to heal with an appropriate touch, which may or may not be physical. When I was ordained a priest, the bishop anointed and blessed my hands as one of the symbols of ordination and the ministry of the ordained. One way of understanding that symbol is that before the bishop anointed and blessed my hands, they were just hands. And that after they were blessed hands, that they were more than just hands. But I've come to wonder if that was really more of a catalyst. A catalyst to release what was already there. And as much to do with my mind and my consciousness as it had to do with my hands. If that blessing and anointing was in some small way a shift in my own consciousness, then in theory, at least, I already had blessed hands and a blessed consciousness. So too that could be for all of us, I think. What if, from this day forward, we all thought of ourselves as healers, who by our love and concern for each other could facilitate healing, could encourage wholeness in our fellow human beings and all creation. I believe the ability to be a healer must surely begin with intention. So as healers at our best, we would not only bring that energy to people and situations that obviously called for healing energy and presence, but also those that seem at first to not need it or want it. Somehow I'm reminded of that ranger. Surely there are things, issues, events, and needs in our communities that we neither see nor hear about. There are also likely things that we do see and hear about, but feel helpless to do anything about. And then there might be those things to which we simply choose to be blind and deaf because of our own previous cultural conditioning. If we are to be healers, it would be better if we also sought to be that, to bring that energy, that being, to everyone and to everything that we encounter, directly or indirectly. A whole new way of seeing. A whole new way of seeing ourselves in the world. What would happen if we did that? Amen.
Amen.